time to sit back, relax, and enjoy. This is what you saved your lunch money for. Your field to the green.
Welcome to episode 164 of Passing Points Podcast, presented by Same Day Auto Repair. I'm your host, Michael Tyree. Got full house this evening. Got co-host Travis.
Go ahead. There you go. Come on.
Travis.
Today.
Travis Ashwood and Lane Goodman are both.
I'm usually the one with the stutter.
I got you, bud.
That was a lisp.
Oh.
Travis.
Anywho.
Gotcha.
We got a good episode for you. We got a guest on the phone right now. We've got.
Get him on hold.
Yeah, on hold, bringing him in. Third caller. Just randomly called in and hit the record button.
He won tickets.
Actually, the real reason we've got Kyle Jones on the show here is because he beat Lane Goodman a couple weekends ago at Tulsa Speedway, so here we are.
Yeah, good to have you, Kyle.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. Awesome to be here. I really appreciate y'all giving me the call and getting me on. I heard a lot about it and listened to actually some episodes and pumped to be here.
Yeah, we feel like you've finally done something worth.
Jesus.
My God. That's awesome.
Dude, I should be like three in right now with what I'm getting. Be able to handle this.
It is getting deep. No, Kyle, hey.
I was deep at this Mruts on last Sunday.
Kyle, it's good to have you on the show. It's been fun to watch the last couple years following your racing and seeing you continue to succeed more and more and at a higher level and what you've been doing in the midget the last few years. So it's good to finally get to chat with you.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's been a wild few years, like you said, going from working full time and then saying let's go race full time, quit my job, and then go hit a season full of racing, and then now I'm a dad, and it's been a wild few years for sure.
Yeah, you said 9 month old.
Yeah, well, he'll be nine on the 27th. 9 months old on the 27th.
So what's that been like for the last 9 months?
Dude, it's been different. Having somebody that you have to take care of 24/7 and not just yourself is a whole life changer, right? So they say you're never ready. Like you don't know if you're ever gonna be ready for it, but that's it. You're never really ready. It's one of those things that just hits you and gets yourself ready, right?
Did you have the feel? Because like mine's four, and when I left the hospital with him, I still had the feeling of like, are you sure you're going to let me take this thing home?
right, exactly. That's why I was like, man, are y'all sure y'all ready for me to take care of him? Like, I was kind of nervous. I was like, the nurse, do I know everything? Do I need to know anything else? And, dude, it's just like anything else, right? You do it enough and you figure it out. It's interesting for sure.
You guys walking out, you're like, you guys know I've never done this before.
That's what it was like. I was like, you sure? Like, you guys want to come help or what?
Did you guys even do a credit check?
Right, exactly.
So how much of the dad life has had to be incorporated into your race, and are you changing diapers at the track before you set air pressure or anything like that?
Man, he hasn't really been able to go to a ton of races with me just because they've been so far out. But he went to Belleville, Kansas with me last August. Like, we just had him, and he was at a race. He went to Doe Run, Missouri, and he was like 3 weeks old. And then ever since then, we went to Doe Run, then we went to Belleville in August, and then he didn't really get to go to much after that. So it was it's definitely when he's at the racetrack, though. Yeah, it's like changing diapers between hot laps and heat race. And then I have a lot of help with my girlfriend, Kylie. She does a lot for me and takes care of that stuff for me when I can't. But it's definitely, you know, I'm setting air pressures 1 minute, then I'm trying to hold a bottle the next.
Well, that's fun, man. It's a new feeling, but I'm sure it's rewarding at the same time.
Oh, absolutely, man. That's exactly like I always knew I kind of wanted kids, but it was like you said, are you ready? And it's, no, you're never ready.
that's what I, and a lot of people, I've heard that a lot of times, like if you wait till you're ready, it's never going to happen.
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, just wait till he starts playing with the tools and stuff.
Oh, dude, that's the coolest part is like, so mom is all about horses. She loves loves horses and horse riding and everything like that. And barrel racing. And so she's like team horse, like half the stuff in his room is horse and half the other stuff is sprint cars and race cars. And he's got a little Jeep that he rides around as grandparents, and that's remote control, but he sits in it. And dude just can't get enough of a steering wheel. So I secretly deep down love it because she's all horse, horse, horse. And I'm like, no, he's going to be a racer. He's gonna, and she's like, no. And I'm like, and dude, just he's all about the steering wheel. So it's awesome.
That is pretty cool.
I know, Travis, how old was Jet when, like you said, the tools, he got to the point where
he was obsessed with the air gauge.
Wasn't he at one point shoving wrenches like inside the axle tube where
you're he'd put wrenches in random places in the car. And like, I remember finding screwdrivers in the kingpins. Like he'd put it in the hole, the kingpins. Yeah. And so I'd be getting ready to load a race car and had to be pulling screwdrivers out of random places.
Who was telling us a story about finding wrenches inside the axle tubes?
That's what I thought it was him.
It was me. Yeah, it was me.
I'll say somebody did. And then there's, I think maybe it was, I want to say it was either Johnny Kent or maybe Matt Sherrill told us a story about their kid shoving stuff inside the headers. Like up
Nope. It was me. I told you. Mike Stewart said Shane Stewart did it when he was little.
That's what it was.
Shane Stewart used to put like little things in the headers.
Oh, we got a new guest.
Little man's on for his first interview.
Yeah, he's trying for sure.
That's funny.
That's so,
hold on, buddy.
I'm sure he fully understands.
Oh yeah,
that you're busy.
that's why he wants attention.
Yeah, that's it exactly. Well, that's why I'm like, okay, well, we'll get in your little roll control car and we'll go for a ride. That's what he's. And yep, now we're racing. So,
we know you got a win at Tulsa Speedway in 305 sprint car here this year already. But how's your season been going so far?
I've only ran like four times now besides Chili Bowl's disaster. But, got hooked up with Charles McManus, to run some sprint car stuff this year, which I'm pumped about, man. Cause like, I love midget racing, but I feel like I've ran so much midget racing that everybody knows me. Like every time the phone rings, it's a guy with a midget. Hey, you want to come race? I'm like, no, I'm not turning down anything, but I feel like deep down, I'm a better sprint car racer. And it's just, that's just not the phone that rings, you know? So, it's awesome to get back into sprint car some, and we're going to do some 305 stuff with OCRS and just other random stuff. And then run some ASCS stuff. Like we're going to Creek this weekend. I ran Meeker, the first night with him, and, it went pretty well. You know, we started 14th in the A, and then we ran up the way to the fifth, and then learned a lot, you know, just sitting in the car for the first time, and then went out to Tulsa Speedway and kind of put a baseline that I kind of got used to, really track gets slick, and just held on through the massive holes, so it was, I was really happy with so far with how things have went, especially with like last week in the Creek, just, having solid runs.
Yeah. You may not know this, but that race at Red Dirt Raceway, I started 7th in the A, and the green flag dropped, and I put it in reverse. So you flew by me at one point in that race pretty quickly.
Well, she was a little slick, you know, and man, that's the biggest thing is, you know, they went out and watered it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I don't ever chase that stuff. I leave it tight, and I said, I'm just going to hold on to this thing for the first 15, and hopefully the last 15 is going to be solid. And sure enough, it blew off pretty quick, you know? Yeah,
so I screwed up because I was in the last heat race, and I won the heat race, but it was starting to rubber up on the bottom. So I left my car a little bit free because I thought it was going to rubber up. And I won the heat race on the bottom in the rubber. And even though they reworked the track, I told Dad, I was like, man, I don't think this is going to last long. And I think we're going to be in the same situation as the heat race. So I kind of left my car a little bit free, anticipating rubber. And it shot me in the foot big time. Like, I was terrible. I started 7th and finished 16th. And it was a garbage run.
Dude, that's the worst. The worst part about racing for me is having a loose race car on a dry slick racetrack. Yeah. It is the most miserable thing.
I guess it was so, it looked so bad from the outside that the first thing Dad said to me was, you get tired? And I was like, no, I just sucked that bad.
You just feel like you're out there floundering around.
Yeah. Dad's left 8. What do you mean? Tired.
Well, it was my first race of the year. So I guess it was a legit question, but like, I wasn't tired at all. It just was, it was terrible. But, and I still, even on a slick track and chasing that car around, Red Dirt's one of my favorite tracks to race at.
I have never ran except for a midget there, you know, on when the USAC comes through with that Tuesday Night Thunder thing they try to do every year. and half the time we get rain and we don't get to do it. But the times we've had got to do it, it's always been a blast.
Yeah.
And I've never ran a sprint car there. So yeah, that was a bunch of fun. I'm pumped for the USAC show at the end of the year when the sprint cars go there.
Wait till you get to run one of the long races at Meeker, like the 33 lap race or that 43 lap or the 40 lap, the Freedom 40 lap race that's there. I feel like the later in the year, the longer the races go on at Meeker, the better they get. Like, it's so fun in a sprint car there.
I believe it. I believe it.
You could always convince Charles to take the wings off, and I think there's a 100 lapper coming up at Meeker.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, that's sweet. So yeah, we're gonna do that, but for the at Creek. But that same weekend is, I think it's the same weekend as Turnpike.
Oh, it is.
Yes, I think so. Yeah,
it is.
So. Yeah, because I was looking at that, I was like, dude, 100 laps would be sick. Because, I mean, I like that stuff. You know, I like about, like, conserving your stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and making sure you've got stuff for the end. I like that stuff. It's not like just run as hard as you can. Like, the kids nowadays that come up through midget racing, that's another reason, midget racing. I'm like, I'm too old, you know. I love it when Zach Dom shows up because I'm not the oldest guy there. you know, or especially T-Mez. So, like, but I'm looking now around driver's meetings, and I'm like, I'm racing junior sprints, dude. Like, there's 8-year-old kids here. What am I doing?
How old are you?
I'm 30. I just turned 30 last year.
Dude, I felt like the old guy in a way at the OCRS driver's meeting because there's this little kid there. He's probably like 12 years old maybe, but he was racing Carson Belden. This is no dog on this kid at all. But I'm sitting there watching the races in my suit, like just chilling, watching. And I like took to my left, and there's this little, you know, dark haired kid, like half my height, tiny. And I'm like, oh, are they racing like mini stocks? Like, I looked over there. There's mini stocks in the staging area. I'm like, kind of looked on the deal, looked at his name, and I looked on the MRP, and I was like, holy crap, that kid's racing a sprint car. And I didn't even like, I was like, I am getting old.
Yeah.
It is wild.
Well, that Caden, what's that other kid's name? Caden something, 72C.
Yeah.
He's a young kid that was out there at Creek this last weekend,
too. Yeah, and then Tim's son, was he 14 or 15?
Yeah, Tyler. And then Baron Silva kid's a young one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
They're starting.
We're getting old, dude. Damn it. Why'd you have to say it, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude. Like, it's crazy. Like, you don't think about it. Like, dude, I saw – oh, yeah, that was the other thing. In Victory Lane photo, not to rub it in, Lane, but when I took that photo, it was
shit.
I looked and I was like, afterwards, I posted whatever, and I was like, dude, look how old I look. Like, I just look like a dad. And I'm like, what happened to me, man?
That's funny.
Oh, hell.
Not to rub it in.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm glad we're racing together all year. That's for sure.
That's funny.
So, on to other things, I guess. So,
I'm sure we'll come back to it.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah. We, you know, yeah. If anybody listens to this show, they know we can't stay on topic very, very good. So, especially the more beers that Lane has,
I'm not drinking much.
I know you're only on one.
I've had one.
It's okay.
Not even.
It's all right. So Kyle, something we like to do, man, we like to give an opportunity to our guests, to kind of talk about their past and their history in racing. And, you know, we'd love to hear more about how you got your start in racing. Are you a first generation? Is it a family thing? And then kind of some of the highlights along the way, you know, what all have you raced and some of your big accomplishments along the way?
Yeah, man. So my dad, my biological father, he was really solid modified stock car guy, like around home, like racing Cowtown Speedway and some other racetracks that aren't actually here anymore. But my that's where like the natural born wanting to do it came from, I feel like. But then I grew up with my guardians were my great aunt and uncle, and my great uncle had a dirt track shop. Literally, that's the name of the shop. It was called the Dirt Track Shop right there in Kennedale, and kind of like a Smiley's Racing. And you know, he grew up with him, and he was at the racetrack all the time working on race cars, building race cars. He built cars, and it was, you know, just we were at the racetrack all the time. So it was, of course, natural. I want to go racing. So he built us some go-karts and at 4 years old, and then we were racing all the time. And then got to the point, I actually flipped my go-kart a few times. like, I think it was like, I think the story goes, dude, I can't remember anything about go-kart racing. Like, people say, oh man, I remember when I won this. Dude, I don't remember a thing about racing go-karts. I don't know if I've wrecked too many times now or what, but they told me, like, we flipped a couple times, like 2 weekends in a row or something, and I was done. I remember that. I remember I was like, I'm done. I don't want to race anymore. Like, I don't like this flipping thing. And I thought sprint cars were crazy back then. I was like, I'm not doing that. So I was about 8 years old, and I'm like, I'm done. Well, we went to a racetrack somewhere in Oklahoma, and I saw a junior mini stock for the first time, like Fox Body Mustang. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool. I like that. Those guys don't flip. So I was like, I'm all about that. And so I was nine, and my uncle knew the guy that promoted the local racetrack at Cowtown and asked him, hey, can he come race? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, if he can hold his line, he'll race. So we go out there, and I think we won our fourth, fifth race out or whatever. And I'm 9 years old racing against 12 and 15, 16-year-old kids. So that then my uncle was like, okay, we're okay. We're kind of pretty good. So years went by, and we got a micro. Went to micro racing about 13 and just took off from there, man, really. I got hooked up with a guy named Jeremy Heffler with Best Deal Services, and he took me places that I never even dreamed of being able to do. Like, first midget ride was him. First micro, really, opportunities were him. First sprint car ride was him. Like, he really excelled my career years beyond what it was at that point.
That and that company was on a few cars back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he helped out
like Zane Lawrence and a couple other kids, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jeb Sessoms, yeah. Marcus Thomas, Chad Wilson, some guys down there, that area. He just helped out a bunch of people.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. That just sounded really familiar when you said that. So
yeah, and I still wear him. I rock him. I'll still push Bessel Service today just because I'll probably will till I die just because of everything he did for me early on mm-hmm. in my career, you know? So he was institutionalized, like how much I learned and how much I was able to do back then, man. It was just incredible thinking back on it, right? So anyways, years go by, we go micro racing, just micro racing, and then he was like, let's get the sprint car. We won our first sprint car race in the third start out, and then, and it was in like an old Gambler, man. It had 3-pin hubs on the front. It was I think he bought the whole car race ready for like $8,500 for this 305 in it. Had a narrow rear end in it. It was what are we doing? And it was an opportunity, right? And that was the thing with me, is I never say no to anything. And you can't get seen if you're not out there, right?
Yeah.
So that him doing this for me and midget racing, and then he got some midgets, and we went midget racing to some places, and that doing that got me seen by Scott Petrie, and I ran with Scott Petrie for a Chili Bowl, and then that led to the 7U ride with Steve Carbone, and you know, just that led to something else, you know, just so it's been a ride for sure. But yeah, just the Best of the Service, Jeremy Heffler, when he got us a midget the first time, my first USAC start was at Big Belleville. And my stepdad had always told me for years at this point, he was like, you want to go fast, you go to Belleville High Banks. Go to Belleville. And I conned him into going to Belleville. I was like, hey, yeah, I want to go race this place. And he was like, yeah, we could do that. And he never even looked it up. Didn't know what it was. Jeremy Heffler was a drag racer. So he's like, I own these sprint cars and stuff, but we'll go do the devil in this. And so we go to Belleville, and he looks over that guardrail where that fence opens, and he's like, this is insane. He was like, he brought an extra car because at that time Belleville was struggling to get some cars. And so like, they're paying $1,000 a start. So he's like, I'll bring an extra car. Uh-huh. Hell, I'll jump in it and, you know, make a start for $1,000. And he gets there and he's like, hell no, I'm not getting anything around this racetrack, dude. And it's that just little funny story from him. That yeah, it's been a ride though for sure.
So what's it like to run Belleville,
man? So I got to run Belleville now twice on the big track, once with that the midget, and now with the sprint car. And running Belleville wide open in a non-wing car is probably the most balls up thing you could do. It is insane. How much speed you're carrying, and you don't even realize it until you see somebody slow down around you and you fly by them because they whatever got in a wreck or whatever mm-hmm. spun out, and the relevancy of speed. And I really noticed that a lot about in the 305 deal, because they got a lot of cars for that thing, and some are off the pace and some are pretty quick, Well, the ones that are off the pace, man, you were moving so fast there. And when I ran the sprint car there, I had it in my head. I was like, I've already ran a midget here. This is a 305. This is going to be nothing. And man, that was something else. That those 305s get around that place pretty good for how much horsepower they actually have and whatnot, you know? So
a lot of people don't really put the lap times together, but the 305s really aren't. They're really like a second and a half off, you know, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
2 seconds. They're not too far off, you know?
Right. Right. Absolutely. There's a lot of respect that needs to go on some 305s racing for sure.
So how many years you got in racing now?
So started at 4. I'm 30. So about 26, 25 years. Solid. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing it for a while, and just like I said, just anything and everything I can hop into. I've got wins and dwarf cars and mod lights, micros, sprint cars, non-wing, just midgets, just anything and everything. You call my phone, I'll answer it, and most of the time, yeah, let's go race.
Anything that you want to run that you haven't ran?
Man, Silver Crown, absolutely, 100% Silver Crown car. I mean, but that's kind of a cop out because it's just a big sprint car, right? So I mean, big block modified or? Be different, dude. Okay, now that we're talking pavement midget, top of the list pavement Silver Crown pavement midget's close, but pavement midget, dude, I want to do that bad.
Yeah, what track? If you got one track, one opportunity.
IRP.
I was about to say we need to get him an IRP. We need to try. We're putting the word out now.
Dude, absolutely, IRP.
Me and Michael are trying to go to the Indy 500 this year, and we were wanting to go to IRP to watch that weekend too.
Yeah,
so we need to get you. We need to get you set up somehow.
Yes, 100%.
The power of the show. Like, we've never got anybody a ride before, but maybe we can now.
No, that or like, dude, I don't know if they run them or not, but like Anderson, would they run the little 500?
Yeah, we're going to that too.
Midgets would absolutely rip around that place. I don't know if they ever ran them or if they do run them. I don't keep up with it that much, but they need to if they don't, because that would be a sick show.
Yeah, they.
I'm sure they do. I mean, there's enough sprint car racing stuff up there.
How popular are pavement midgets right now?
Not very. I don't think.
That's what I thought.
It's crazy. Like they came back up more so in the last 3 years, 4 or 5 years than they were, because they were dead, right? Like there was no pavement midget racing.
But the one place they are alive is in Indiana. So like
right. Yeah. Well, they run a focus series Ecotech series
type series.
Yeah. Some D2 stuff up in New Hampshire and like the East Coast, and they've even got some on the West Coast now.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, I didn't know that they had some.
I guess I didn't think or know of pavement midgets until I was watching on Flow Racing. They had the 24/7 channel, and I was just watching that one day, and the random race that was on was like, it was a pavement midget race in like 1997 or something, and it had Ryan Newman and Tony Stewart in it, and it had Ken Schrader in it.
Where was it at? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was Northeast. I remember that, but I just don't remember the track.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
So have you ran pavement?
No, never ran any. I mean, outside your local go-kart track, right? Yeah. But no, I've never gotten on any pavement. That was always something I kind of wanted to dabble in, but shoot, you want to talk about dirt racing, need the money. That pavement stuff's ridiculous, right? So... Yeah. It's insane. So it's like, no, I never got the opportunity. The cars never lined up. I mean, I'm sure if I wanted to do it enough, like if I wanted to figure it out enough and make it happen, yeah, I could have, you know, ran it once or twice. But it wasn't ever worth it that much to me. It was always like, well, we got racetracks all around us, so it's.
I don't know how it is. I mean, down there in Texas, but like here in Oklahoma, I mean, we had a pavement track for maybe 5 or 6 years, and it didn't last.
Yeah, we had one, and I don't even know if it's still there. Really just one, yeah, and around us, and I think that was like 2.5 hours away from us. I mean, besides TMS having their little tracks, you know, they run, you know, Legends cars and Bandoleros in the middle of the big track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. Like I know there was one in down near Houston at one time.
There used to be a big asphalt track. Was it Altus down?
Yeah,
down
that was the Oklahoma asphalt track. you were talking about JRP.
JRP used to have an oval.
Well, JRP had one. I've raced on that asphalt oval, but I mean there was like a 3/8 mile oval down around Altus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a quarter and a 3/8, I think, or a half. Hmm. And
yeah, it seemed like they did have an asphalt track or a pavement track down there in the South Texas area.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the plans look like for the rest of this season?
A lot of just everything. Like I said, running with Charles McManus in the sprint car some, and I put out a schedule, and it was about 75 to 80 races, and running full time with Corey Joyner for the USAC midget stuff, and then running some extreme stuff with Dan Minear and the 16 car, the one we tried to race at Chili Bowl and didn't really get to make a lap because of unfortunate circumstances. And then got to run some more extreme stuff with some other guys. John Levesque ran for a couple times last year out in PA. We're going to run some races around Kansas area. And run Belleville Nationals again. Go try to win that and not be light of the scales again.
Yeah.
So that was a bunch of fun. That was really one of the highlights. I mean, as terrible as that was, right? Because, I mean, that was a lot of money taken away from you. You know, it was really fun because that was the first time I ever met those guys. He gave me a call and says, hey, you were recommended to me by somebody. Will you come and you want to take a look at running this deal? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then go out there the first time and run 10th the first night and win the next night. I mean, that's – you can't ask for more than that, right? So it was a fun weekend. Yeah, and plus, that was the first – I mean, my son was, you know, the first the race at Doe Run, but he was also there for that. And winning that with him there, I was like, man, this is cool. And then it was kind of taken away, and it was just tough.
So we don't get much into the drama side of racing on here, but when you did was light at the scales there at Belleville, was there – I only asked because I wasn't there, and I heard, like, was there, like – weighing and then you were good but then you weren't and you had to reweigh or something like that?
So how it went was I got to the scales like the third car in line or fourth car maybe, because whoever finished in the top five went away,
right?
So they just happened to beat me down there, and I went across the scales. He says, you're 7 pounds light, but he says just like this, he goes, you're 7 pounds light, but everybody else is follow this guy. Like, he points to this guy that's an official that's on a four wheeler. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's going to maybe turn around and weigh again. Well, dude on the four wheeler starts taking off across and going towards the small track. And I'm like, okay. So if everybody's light, then we're not going off the scales, right? So that's what's going through my head. I'm like, right. Okay, I'll go off the scales. We just won this thing. Cool. Well, you know, I'm doing what I'm being told to do, so I follow him. He takes his victory lane, so I'm like, cool, we just won this deal. Well, you know, I get out, stand on top of the wing like an idiot, and dude in second, or got second, rolls up behind me, and I'm like, what's he doing here? I guess they're doing tech on the front straightaway. And he is like, some official came by and was like, man, he was good, and he says he was good. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on now. And then Tommy who's running this deal, he came up and he was like, no, dude, you're just qualified, blah blah. And I'm like, whoa, wait, I was just doing what I was told. What do you mean? He was like, no, you were light. And I'm like, yes, I agree, like, I was light, but that I'm just doing what I was told. And he was like, all right, yeah, you're just qualified, blah blah. And I'm like, well, at least let me try to reweigh. Anywhere in the country you could turn around the scales and try to reweigh.
Right.
So I'm like, at least let me reweigh. And at this point he's like, no, dude, you're just qualified. I'm like, whoa, like, I'm not doing anything wrong here. I'm just doing what I'm told. And finally get him to calm down. And it was like, okay, let's go reweigh. So at this point, I'm rolling back over there, and we rolled from the scales to the front straightaway. And now we're going back to the scales. Now we're 15 pounds light. So we've lost another 7-8 pounds somewhere between rolling from the scales to the track. And I get things can change, right? Certain temperatures and whatever, but I don't know. They told us that, you know, it is what it is. At this point, I know I'm not fighting anything. I know we're light regardless. Like, I'm just head down. Like, of course, you know, why me, right?
Yeah.
So, go on. The drama on Facebook unfolded, and I was like, it is what it is, boys. Like, I'm not going to argue. You're not going to find me arguing the fact whether we're light or not, because I'm not. The scales are the official way. It don't matter what you weigh at home.
Yep.
So. But that was the other thing, is we weighed 5 or 6 times that night, like that whole weekend, right? Between heat races or qualifying or whatever. Saying we were never even close. We were 30, 50 pounds over. Now it did rubber up some. We lost some tire wear. We had probably less fuel than we ever had because of the, you know, the long race. But he went, the guy went home, John Webster went home with a car and put it on his scales. We're over by 6 pounds. So it was a tough deal. It's a tough pill to swallow on all of it, just because we thought what they did, you know, not going by the scales, and then they didn't, you know, they're going back and forth. So it just didn't look good, look bad, taking me to victory lane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it just, it is what it is, right? We'll just go win it again. And that's the plan.
Yeah, I was just curious. Like, I didn't, these days I don't spend much time on Facebook, but I've got family that lives in Belleville, and inside of a cousin up there that he doesn't know a whole lot about racing, but he'd text me and he was kind of telling me about the drama, and he was like, can you explain this to me? Cause he didn't quite understand that was sprint cars, what they were supposed to weigh, but why would they put you in victory lane and then weigh you again? And I was like, man, that part, I can't answer why it would end down that way.
Yeah. I mean, it was a wild deal, right? Like, and since then I've heard, now I don't know if this is true or not, but I've heard they've gotten new scales or doing something new with their scales this time. So I'm like, of course. Right. So it's, I mean, that's good. Good for them if they are. I don't know if they were, nobody came and called me and said, yeah, they weren't calibrated right or whatever. And you know, it is what it is. Right. So I just went about it and, so go on to the next race.
Do you get to try again this year with the same team?
Yep. Same team. Oh, dude, they were, yeah. So they want, yeah, they wanted to run it back right then. Like, if we could race next weekend, we would.
They're ready to swing at it, yeah.
Yeah, and that was crazy. It's, you know, going from Friday to Saturday, I was just like, I was telling the crew chief, Joe Snyder, I was like, I just need, it's just a little wavy in the corners. Like, I'm having to chase the steering when I can't be smooth. I mean, there, it's all about being smooth.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there having to chase the car like a boat, like the ass end just wanted to come out a little bit, and I'm having to chase the steering wheel. And he was like, I fixed that. Well, sure enough, we go out the next day and it's just lights out. Like, went stupid good. And so I told them guys, I was like, man, we'll do this again next year, but just put this car, put a tarp on this thing and put it over in the corner. Don't even touch this thing. Just put it somewhere else so we can run it back and try again. And, I just actually talked to John, the guy that owns the car, the other day, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't want to run it. I just want to, like he wants to run some this year with his, like, he wants to race it. He's like, I bought another car and I'm buying another motor. Like, I'm not running that car." I'm like, "That's awesome, man. Hell yeah,
that is awesome.
That's wild."
That was gonna be my next question, was if they were racing again, or what, you know, what they do in the meantime in between having you drive at Belleville. So it sounds like. Like, it's this guy's car and he races it himself?
Yeah, just every now and then. He doesn't race all the time, but I mean, it's a really nice piece. And he just pulls it out whenever he feels like he wants to run. And he's put some other people in it before me, but I don't think he's ran it since. And I don't think he's ever even got plans to run it since, you know, until we go run Belleville. Just he was just so pumped up, you know, we went out there and won that. And that was a big deal for him. Like, he always wanted to win at Belleville. And so did the crew chief, Joe. He was like, I've been racing here for like 30 years between all the different stuff they race here, and I've never won here. I'm getting close. And that's what was really tough, right? Because he had been doing that for 30 years. And we go to victory lane, and then they're telling us, no, we're disqualified. And he's like, he's mad at this point, right? Like, no, dude, y'all can't be taking this away from us. And I'm Joe, it is what it is, man. Like, it's not, I don't feel like it's personal, right? I don't feel like they're just coming at us. It's just, you know, it's what it is. It's a rule.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine the emotions of that. The up and down. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a solid payday, too. Race for a living. It was pretty decent.
Yeah.
What did it pay? It was like 15, was it?
15 or 20, isn't it?
Do what now?
The pay? 15 or 20 grand?
Somewhere? No. It was only 7,500. So, I thought.
Which one am I thinking of? I'm thinking of another.
Is it Eagle, maybe? The 305 Nationals?
No, 305. No, they, 305 don't pay nothing.
No, they pay $3 to win and $1,000 to start.
Oh, damn.
Maybe Dodge City. Does Dodge City pay a lot?
Who?
Dodge City, Kansas. Do they have a big race there?
They got a big race, but I don't know what it pays. I don't remember.
I know Amarillo had like a big, I don't know if they still have it, though. They had a big
305 race. Yeah, they had a 10K. Yeah, they had a 10,000 to win.
Man, I don't know why. For some reason, I thought Belleville was more than that.
Yeah, I did too.
You would have really. I, you talk about not having much emotion for it. I promise I'd have been crying on there.
$20,000. If it had been double, what?
More diaper money.
Yeah, no lie. Y'all seen how much baby formula is?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, heck. Hey, it's been fun. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit better. And
wait, well, we don't know him yet. Hold on. We were talking about eating at Kilkenny's up here earlier before we started the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where do we eat when we're down there?
Dude, I knew you were going to ask me that. I haven't been to Kilkenny's in so long. I can't remember what I got there. Like, I knew, like, I go to, McNelly's, and I know I get the meatloaf there. And I love that place. Anytime I go to Tulsa, I'm like, oh, I got to go to McNelly's, or I got to go to Chicken and the Wolf.
Dude, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that place is good.
Chicken and the Wolf and them chicken sandwiches mm-hmm. are ridiculous. Yeah, that's old Bobby, Jackie Bobby got me on that.
Yeah, that place is really good.
Old Janky Bob. Let's see. What else? What is the other place? That's going to drive me nuts. Yeah, yeah. Some Jay's sandwich place. Nola? Yeah, absolutely. Nola's.
Oh, no. Nola's is good.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Like, have you tried the crawfish queso dip at Nola's?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
The voodoo chicken there is ridiculous.
That's yeah. what everyone but says.
But what do we need to eat when we're down where you're at?
Ah, man. Well, where I'm at now, I just moved to Bonham, Texas. So I'm basically on the border of Oklahoma. I'm like 15 minutes away from Oklahoma. But like Kennedale, man, we didn't really have any like local stuff. It's all chain. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you go to Mexican restaurants on the border or, you know, it's nothing like. We didn't really have a lot of hole in the wall stuff. Like there is a restaurant in Kennedale called the Pit Stop Cafe, and Pit Stop Cafe is solid. If you're ever around Kennedale, you're going to a race or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, man, Pit Stop Cafe. And then there's Goldie's Barbecue, best barbecue in the country, based off of some magazine that had the top 50 or 100 barbecue places. And Goldie's Barbecue is right there in Kennedale, up the street from where I grew up. Okay.
So I would imagine you racing all over the country have had barbecue other places. Does the magazine article hold up?
You put him on the spot.
So, hell yeah, I did. I love barbecue, so I want to know.
So if you ask Steve and Jackie Bob, my favorite barbecue places, they'll lie to you and tell you it's Dickie's because they're assholes.
Dickie's is terrible.
Dickie's is awful.
Yeah, but I first ate that at Dallas Love Airfield in the airport, and it was the best airport barbecue I've ever had.
Oh, really?
But
that's
the
airport
only
barbecue.
That's an airport barbecue.
That's probably the only airport.
That
barbecue,
list right? is only one. Restaurant long. That's the only credibility I can give Dickie's.
No, I mean, so like I've had barbecue in Kansas City and North Carolina, we went and raced Millbridge a few times. And there's a place called the Smoke Pit, and it said something about Texas style barbecue, and I'm like, all right, let's find out.
You're like, I know what that is.
I gotta see your card.
Let me see your driver's license. Yeah. Let me see. Says from Texas. Where's the cook at? And we went there, and man, that was solid. Like that was as solid as it gets from barbecue that's not around me.
So,
and I'm not a big like it's got to be. So it's got to be this place. Got to be like I'll go to Rib Crew and eat barbecue. I don't care. Like right. I'll you know it does. I'd really rather not eat Dickie's, but yeah, Smoke Pit. Tons of barbecue places down here, but Goldie's is pretty solid. I don't know if it's number one, but it's pretty solid.
You ever been to Hard Eight Barbecue?
Yeah, been to Hard Eight.
I really like Hard Eight down there.
Yeah, it's solid.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thing is I've never had barbecue that I've like said this is terrible. Like every barbecue I've had has been pretty decent.
I could probably say the same if it's from like an actual barbecue restaurant, right, not like a chain place, you know.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I generally like everywhere barbecue-wise or can find something that I really like, you know?
Sure.
Like some places I like the chicken better. Some places if they have turkey is pretty good. Like Albert G's in Tulsa, the turkey there is great.
Dude, Albert G's is solid also. Yeah. And we talked about food. And I heard something about this, but I don't know. Y'all might know. Y'all should know. Is Brothers Hooligan not around anymore?
No, it is.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's okay, not going
because I had heard something about it shut down or moved or something. I was like, no way.
Dude, oh, yeah, great. It's still there.
It's
oh,
ridiculous. Yeah.
They caught the old one on, like, 15th, I think, caught on fire a long time ago or a while, like, maybe a year or 2 years ago, maybe.
Is that the one where it's, like, pitch black inside? Like, you go out, you don't know what time it is outdoors?
Yep. It's, like, in between Lewis and Yale on 15th.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the older one. And then the one by my house is in between 51st and 61st and Yale. Or 51st and 41st and Yale.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the only one I've actually eaten at, I think.
But, yeah, there's those are still around.
Yeah.
Those are really good, too.
And they still give you, like, 17 helpings of green beans.
That's, like, classic comfort food around here.
Oh, it's great. You go out race, and you get a hangover from turn five, and then you go up to Brothers Hooligan and get some gravy on your french fries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Endless gravy. They're not afraid to ask you if you want more either there. They'll bring it out.
Yeah. I've never been to a place that treats gravy like chips and salsa.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. We had a.
You might be able to market that to them if you're good enough about that.
We went there once with some people from work, and we had a guy. And they were like, you know, would you like some gravy on that? And he's like, oh yeah, smother it in gravy. So that like kind of became his motto at work. We'd just make fun of him, smother it in gravy.
That's awesome.
And I'm wanting some Brothers Hooligan now. Damn it!
Oh, dude, I have not eaten dinner yet, so I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for the Brothers Hooligan.
All right. Well, anything else?
Can't think.
I have to ask you because every time I try to close, you always. Well, okay.
Oh, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
You want to ask him his favorite color? I don't care. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't dive down into the whole achievements and stuff. We could be here for, like, so long. Because, like, between chili bowls and everything else, I was like, man.
If we wanted statistics, we'd get on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. I was get some backstory and let's get some stories going for sure.
Exactly. Well, I guess, do you have anything else you want to say or shout out?
Oh, yeah, t-shirts or anything?
Yeah.
And I appreciate y'all having me on. I appreciate all the guys that have put me in race cars this year. And just ready for the year to unfold and see how it goes.
Awesome.
Well, appreciate it. And look forward to getting a race with you again somewhere around here.
Yeah, absolutely. You going to Creek on Thursday? Next Thursday?
Yes, I am racing.
Yep.
All right, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I was planning on racing this weekend, but I was... read a post before we got on here that I have to buy a $125 license to race this weekend.
Michael don't like the dirt car license idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the highest finishing OCRS car gets an extra $200.
That ain't me, bud.
It's paid for, right?
Yeah, but that ain't me at this point in life.
How many of them guys actually do that? We'll run the 305 with 360 tough.
At Creek, it actually happens.
It's common.
It's pretty common.
Mm-hmm. We would do that all the time down at home, so I didn't know how common it was up there.
I have an ASCS engine, but it's getting rebuilt. So, and I've only raced once this year, and it was like my fifth time in the last 2 years. So I was going to go race this weekend just to get more laps and just try to get back in shape. And then I was like, man, I don't really want to pay an extra $125 to go run a B feature. Is kind of the way I'm looking at it.
Is it you that has a seventh place finish with a two barrel?
That was me.
Was it you?
I made it to seventh one time, and then that Sean Peterson guy from Texas ran me off the end of the track at Creek, and then Brady.
No
Bacon,
way.
Yeah, Brady Bacon lapped me, and then the yellow came out, and I got pinned a lap down, and ended up 11th. But I had made it up to seventh with a two barrel at Creek. Some guys can make some decent runs at Creek.
The
with
last
two barrel.
National show that I raced there was with a two barrel. We went 22nd to 7th.
Yeah. It's totally possible.
Mm-hmm. Rolling the bottom.
Yeah, some hot bottom.
I think I clipped the tires like two or three times that race too.
If you're not clipping the tires, you're not low.
Dude, I'm good at that for some reason.
I'm a. The tractor tire deal, I have a love-hate relationship with.
Yeah. I like to play this fun game where I weave in and out of them, and sometimes I lose. It's what happens to me. Well.
That is a thing.
Yeah. I just give me PTSD just thinking about it.
Well, all right, Kyle, man, we appreciate your time, and we'll let you get back to taking care of the kiddo, and we'll see you at a track soon.
All right, guys, I appreciate y'all, and I'll see y'all soon.
All right, thanks, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was. That was a good one.
Yeah.
It's kind of just nice to be having a show again.
Yeah, I know, Travis. Sorry. Well, I'm just going to quit my job and go full-time podcast.
You should.
Yeah. I feel like it. I'm over it.
All right.
Speaking of which, you guys heard that phone ring in there. Now, that was a work phone call. Like, I'm not answering it right now.
Are we doing open segment or is it commercial time?
Let's do a commercial, then we can do open segment. How about that?
Cool. I gotta take a potty break.
Potty break.
Danny Smith, owner of Same Day Auto Repair and Tire Pros, makes automotive service and tire buying simpler. Same Day Auto Repair and Tire Pros offers payment options with or without credit. Payments starting as low as $40. The program is available for both car repairs and tires. Tire Pros, hassle-free guaranteed. Find out more at samedayautorepair.com.
No payment options or guaranteed options available to those who qualify. See store for complete details.
Same Day Auto Repair.
Whether you're looking for countertop for your new property or your remodeling needs, Permastone has you covered. At Permastone Countertop Solutions, you can choose from a large collection of the best countertops around Tulsa, Oklahoma. From the selection of your countertop to its installation, their experts will help you with everything. Choose from a range of quartz, marble, granite countertops for your residential or commercial property. You can check out permastonetulsa.com to get with them and get their numbers. You can give them a call, get a free estimate or an in-home consultation, and let them show you how perfect countertops around Tulsa, Oklahoma can transform your home. That's Permastone Countertop Solutions. Check them out at permastonetulsa.com. Well, how was your tinkle break, Travis?
Did you already do the commercial?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we did that while you were tinkling.
Oh, I'm good, man. Everything came out all right.
That's good. Did you put the seat down?
No, I peed on the floor.
That's why. You don't have to put the seat down if you never opened
it. Yeah, if you just missed completely. No, I'm good. Good interview. We've had quite a break that we weren't off air, pull the curtain back. We've been talking about stuff. So anyways, go ahead.
Yeah.
How was your day? Anything you want to talk about? Open segment stuff?
My day sucked, but...
Oh, Cotton. I mean, okay, well, don't talk about the sucky stuff. What's exciting? How's the weekend?
There, just had some exciting...
DJ'd a wedding.
I did DJ a wedding.
Do you got a DJ name? DJ Deuce?
I think it's DJ Khaled. Something like that.
I don't think that's your DJ name.
DJ Khaled!
I think I got mixed up. I do not have a DJ name, because... That's not really.
So we need a DJ.
DJ M-E-T.
DJ. We need a DJ name. Something you can yell and everybody gets hyped up. Throw their hands up.
Don't do DJ Deuce because then it sounds like you.
Like that guy's shit, man. I don't hire him for nothing.
That could be my motto. I'm the shit.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, Lane, how's your weekend?
I had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. How was yours?
You look quick.
I looked quick?
Yeah, on the race car.
Oh, yeah. We were all right. We got better when the race went on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Had to... I don't know. Sorry, weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. 11th ain't too bad, but it's not where...
We came out of the B to get to up to 11. Yeah. I mean,
yep.
You were going forward.
Yeah. It was good.
When's your next race?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't really know. It's a good question. Lance asked me that today, actually.
Yeah. I seen where he was on vacation?
He's in Dominican. Yeah, him and Karen were.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
He was like, oh, man, I missed the race. And he had like pictures of palm trees and stuff. Like, oh, darn.
He sent that to us before he posted it.
So you raced without your owner?
Oh, yeah. My owner even let me take all the stuff. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he trusts me.
That's really good.
Yeah, I'd say we have a good relationship.
His grandkids stayed in town, and then his granddaughter actually ended up coming to the races with us too. So that was cool.
That's cool. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She made us food and all that. She's like a little Karen. Karen is Lance's wife. She's only, I think her and Jackson are twins, are like 12 or 13, something like that. But she always makes us food and all that. Yeah. Yeah, so even though Karen was gone, like we still had a whole crock pot and everything up there in the front of the trailer and all that.
That's fun.
It was awesome.
I should have stopped by.
Right? Yeah. Travis was there.
Surprised I came to watch Michael.
Oh, yeah. You didn't even race, did you? Yeah.
You didn't even ask me. He just showed up.
I just assumed he would be racing. There. So I showed up, and I was like, where's Michael?
Why didn't you race?
I was DJing a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
I left the wedding at like 9:15. I got there. When I left the wedding, I text Steve, and I was like, have the Sprint A run yet? And he said, the Sprint B just got done. You got time. And I like hightailed it. I was out in Tarleton, other side of Manford.
Yeah.
I like sped the whole way, and I got there like 1A feature before the sprint car, so I got
I
to
didn't
watch.
Even see you.
No. Yeah, he was in the box.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I went up to the press box, and then...
He's bougie.
I didn't have a pit pass, so I had to wait till after the races were over to get into the pits. So
yeah.
By the time I got down there, like, it's crazy how quickly the sprint car guys get the hell out of there.
Yeah, we don't want to watch the other classes. It's crazy how that works. Oh, I said that out loud.
There's a bar open somewhere.
I went home.
Did you really?
Yeah. Well, I had to take Avery home, but Lance's granddaughter... Lance lives an hour from Creek, so I have to drive all the way out there, and then I'm 40 minutes outside Tulsa at that point still, so I just went home. I was tired, too.
And then you're, what, 45 minutes back to your house?
Yeah, that's the same 40 minutes outside from my house once I get to Lance's, so I had 2 hours almost of driving even after I left the races, so.
I went to Monster Trucks yesterday.
And I were racing 20 minutes outside Tulsa. It's crazy, like. Did you really?
Yeah.
Was it Monster Jam or was it like a local deal?
It was Hot Wheels Monster Trucks glow party thing. So they had like lasers and stuff.
I saw the pictures that were there had like glow sticks and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. It was good. I mean, it was a Monster Truck show. I realized we missed our calling.
I think it'd be cool to go to Monster Jam.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Travis cracks me up because he goes to these special events. And all, like, the whole time his kid is just grinning ear to ear and loving it, Travis is texting me about, like, we should have done this. We could make millions of dollars doing this.
Oh, I don't know about millions of dollars. We wouldn't lose as much money.
Well,
those guys just got off a tour in Europe. They were getting paid.
Yeah.
Do you know how those work?
Yeah, it's basically just
hired.
Yeah, you're, yeah.
Yeah, they own the trucks. You just come drive. I thought about that, too. I saw a TikTok of, like, the Monster Jam, like, compilation of, like, Monster Jam stuff. I was like, you know, I could probably flip a truck pretty good.
Yeah. No, I think
if I really wanted to try.
Yeah. Well, how do we get signed up for that kind of thing?
That's where, how do you ever get into that? Like, what, do you just like wake up like and be born one day and like, oh, dad has a fucking Bigfoot outside. Like, what, how do you get into that?
I don't know.
Like,
I,
our parents all were into racing or like some sort, like, right?
I guess it has to be basically kind of the same idea.
I didn't mean to cuss about the monster truck. I've been clean this whole deal, but like.
Ride it on still, the board.
How do you like get into it? Like, are you just out in a cornfield and then you have to have like a bigger truck to see over the like those horizon stocks. Or like what?
I wonder if there's
you're
a place
saying, you're saying the sport was born out of necessity.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a place you can drive a monster truck.
I mean, NASCAR was born out of necessity.
Bootlegging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how that's a necessity. We got to get our beer. Yeah,
I get it, man.
The other thing, like they had some freestyle motocross guys there.
Yeah, I remember when they did the one at the Expo Center and they'd race like ATVs or something in between.
We did it.
You remember that?
Uh-uh.
Did you never go to Monster Trucks at the Expo Center?
Oh, yeah, like yeah. But I don't remember.
They raced quads on the inside.
But see, those monster trucks were like legit monster trucks. Yeah. Like they were like real trucks jacked up. Like,
well, that's what monster trucks used to be back
used
then.
To, I know, that's what I'm saying. They're more of a traditional monster
truck. They're older monster trucks.
Now I don't want to see a traditional one. I want to see a Monster Jam monster truck.
Yeah, yeah. Now Monster Jam, like tubular chassis.
Sprint cars used to not have roll cages either.
I want to watch that thing get launched 40 feet into the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it like do donuts on pavement. Yeah. That's what is what attracts me to the Monster Jam stuff. I'm not like, I don't like watch Monster Jam, but like if someone were like, hey, dude, Monster Jam's in town. Do you want to go? I'd be like, yeah.
I want to go to it.
Well, like, the
BOK, that sounds so much fun.
The BOK is a little bit small for Monster Jam.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to
it. You have to go to a big one.
Oklahoma City or something like that.
Well, I don't think Oklahoma City is any bigger. Like you have to go to like
Houston.
They were in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but it's still just a basketball court stadium. Like, it's still small. You want to go to a big one.
I want to go to a big arena.
Where they have...
Yeah.
It's like a Vegas.
Like a football
stadium. Vegas is the big...
Like a football stadium size.
Yeah.
Because that's where they can really do the crazy stuff, you know?
Like in Tulsa, they can't even... Like if they do the race, like it's a really small course and it's all timed. Like there's no head-to-head because there's not enough room.
Bunch of Sally's.
I'm not even sure how serious they take the racing part.
No.
It's scored.
It's scripted.
I don't know how serious that is.
If you, the Monster Jam stuff is,
yeah.
If you watch their calls or like shut them off calls, they will let guys ride around with like broken frames and like do all kinds of crazy stuff, but they'll shut someone off for like having a body panel hanging off or something. But you can visibly see tubular frame work broken and they will let them ride.
Because I think
WWE meets motorsport.
Yeah, because I think it's basically appearance money, right?
For me, it's a little bit more entertaining than WWE and a little bit less underwear on dudes.
The WWE.
I enjoy the underwear on dudes part.
Dude, I'm not a WWE fan. I'm not a WWE fan, but I am a local wrestling fan.
Dude, I went to a bunch of local wrestling stuff with my aunt growing up.
Yeah.
And that was like some of the epitome of entertainment I had growing up because of that.
The cheesier the wrestling, the more epitome? I like it.
Do you know what that means?
I'm just assuming right now that you're mispronouncing epitome.
No.
What is it?
Epitome? Epiphany? Is that what you're thinking of?
What word did you just say?
Epitome.
What's it mean?
It's like the top tier, like the peak.
Yeah, like it's pronounced epitome.
I've never heard that shit. I'm from Oklahoma. You're from Kiefer.
No, Google it and look at the pronunciation of it. Epideme.
We've had this conversation so many times on this that you are the grammar police.
I am.
What?
A person or thing that is a perfect example of the particular quality or type.
Either way, you went to Kiefer and I didn't, so...
Thank you for talking Kiefer up that way.
I have a bachelor's.
You have a drinking degree, Travis. Your parents paid for you to party.
No. I paid loans.
Okay. My bad.
I paid for that experience. I wouldn't change it. It was fun.
Are you going to pull this cord probably out of the board?
Yeah, just talk. I'll handle this. I'm a pro.
Okay, my bad.
What are you a pro at?
I don't know. Tell Michael I know what I'm doing. Anyways, what were you talking about monster trucks? What were you doing?
I want to go to Monster Truck Race.
Yeah.
I think you said that already. Well, speaking of pros, there was some pro race car drivers this past weekend with the World of Outlaws.
How'd that go?
Down in Texas. They were Cotton Bowl. That's a racy little joint, ain't it?
Cotton Bowl's cool.
Yeah.
Man. Was that where Selzy was on the wall at?
You know what Cotton Bowl's shaped a lot like? What? Tulsa Speedway.
I think we all can agree that Speedway has potential.
I've been to both of these racetracks in Cotton Bowl preps theirs, and it works. That's all Nathan did a good job, but...
Hey, we're only one race in. It'll be all right.
Dude. I mean, I get it. But I'll stay positive.
I still have yet to race there, and I'm going to on the 29th. I just hope that I don't
feel like I had a lot of hope going into this, like, that weekend just because of what it had been done, and it was, like, almost a back-to-square-one experience.
I'm hoping that I don't leave... there on the 29th with the feeling of, damn it, I wish I would have tried it last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful because I plan on running Tulsa as much as I can this year.
Because
it just, for me, with what I got going on with the non-wing series and everything, it's going to be easier for me to race on Friday nights.
Yeah. Putting up with the asshole owners that he has. Me. I'm saying me. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
Hey, I did something I think kind of cool.
What?
So I went and met with Haas Friday, and we got all like feature win board, heat race winner board stuff, everything designed. And it's always bugged me that USL's never had like trophies of some sort. And I know the philosophy has always been like it's on the track to provide a trophy, but none of them ever do unless you go to Salina, basically.
We got one at both the races we won.
Actually, Meeker does win.
We got one to trophies. We got one at Creek too.
Creek County does the boards.
No. I guess ours was the Fall Fling race. So we got a big. A big trophy for the Fall Fling race.
Yeah, that was Terry. So I should take back what I said because I forget Red Dirt Raceway always has trophy.
Look at this asshole owner just talking to us.
But anywho.
I was like, I got a bunch of trophies. I don't know what you're talking about. I just loaded up on them.
I decided.
I got a bunch of checks too.
I decided to take the feature win board that we designed and make a bunch of miniature versions of it to give out as well as kind of a trophy keepsake thing, mm-hmm. hang on your wall, whatever. But I also decided to make enough of them to have two for every race because I know that there are quite a few. Actually, a few cars in our series that have a driver and an owner. So I was like, maybe, you know, both parties might enjoy taking that home.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. I don't have any trophies at my house.
Yeah. Because Brett took them.
Yeah.
You got the money, though.
Yeah. I have one. Yeah. I got the big cardboard check, too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I meant to get a hold of Cody and see about getting a trophy and everything. I just never did to do it.
I have one at mine, I think. It's a mini mod check. Actually, I have a Tulsa Speedway like plaque, mini mod check, the championship trophy now, and then my banner that I got from the championship.
Yeah,
but I don't. I give Lance all the checks to hang him in his shop.
Do you guys still have? Does he still have the champagne bottles?
From where?
From Tulsa
championship night.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, that was a good addition, though.
I know.
That was really good thought on that.
I kept one of them, but then when I won my championship, I kept one that wasn't open. But
I personally didn't keep it. I don't know what Lance.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but in there on the counter, there is an empty champagne bottle in the kitchen. That's the champagne bottle that Travis sprayed me with the night I won the championship in 2015. I've sat on my counter for...
You haven't done anything with it? Haven't like made a vase out of it or put roses in it?
It's just sitting there. It's just a keepsake. It's sitting there empty.
It's just so people think I'm an alcoholic.
It's just an empty champagne bottle. And it's cheap champagne, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't spend a lot of money on you, bro. Andrew's like, what are you going to get? I was like, what's the cheapest one?
It's going to end up on the track.
Yeah, we ain't drinking it anyways.
I think I had like two or three swigs out of it just after I sprayed it. That was about it.
Yeah. It'd have been funny to like get the box or something instead.
Just open the valve. That would have been funny.
Just pour it over him like it's a football coach.
Do like old college days. Take the bag out of the box. Have him slap the bag and start chugging them. Man. Could you imagine Lance playing slap bag on the first stretch? Like, what are we slapping it for? How hard do I hit it?
It's not quite the same as Formula One, is it?
No.
No, we have somehow Cotton Bowl went to that. So, Outlaws at Cotton Bowl. The Friday 15th, Brent Marks picking up the win. Saturday the 16th, Gio Selzy picking up the win. Friday night, that was the night you were talking about Gio going up the backstretch wall. That was shades a la Seth Bergman, Creek County Speedway, just not as cool.
Seth won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was exactly what I told. I can't remember. I think it was my father-in-law showed it to and I said that. I don't remember now. Up next for the World of Outlaws, this weekend, March 22nd, Big O Speedway, and March 23rd, Kennedale Speedway Park. So, Sooner State Spotlight. We had Ameriflex Hose and Accessories OCRS Sprint Car Race this past weekend at Creek County Speedway. And friend of the show, Zach Chappell, picking up the win.
It was an interesting race.
It was one of the best sprint car races I've seen at Creek County Speedway in
a while. It was fun to watch. I know Lane didn't get to see it, but like,
yeah, he was out there firsthand seeing it.
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't get to see the race.
That track was,
well, yeah, but you don't get to see the race when you're in it.
Yeah, that was like prime Creek County.
I was gonna say that track was primo, man.
Mm-hmm. That was what we grew up watching, Creek County, and like telling people like this, it's good, I promise, and like that's how it should be and can be every time, and how it is a lot of the time.
Well, honestly, I'm talking about the race for the lead between the like Danny and
Danny and Zach, and then
I thought
Andrew got up in the mix.
Well, I thought Zach gave it away because he caught a lap. They were kind of a lap car, and he got pinned after he got pinned behind a lap car. And then almost spun out in 3 and 4. Do you remember that? That's when Deal got him.
I tell you,
Deal snuck up there.
Yeah,
I watched a replay of the video or the YouTube video of it, and it was a good race.
Well,
tell you who was making a hell of a run and then stepped on it was Noah.
Oh, really?
And I actually told him afterwards. I'm saying that because I told him. I said, well, you stepped on it, and he was like, I didn't have any power steering, and I was like, okay. I'll let it slide. He's like, dude, I was having to drive that thing wide open because I didn't have any power steering. And then he's like, somebody did something and he had to like roll out a little bit. And he's like, oh, I couldn't turn it. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
As an owner of the series, you're going to come up and say something like that to a driver?
I don't own that series.
I'm just talking shit.
And actually, I think, yeah, if you raced in my series, and I'd probably ask you if you stepped on it. I'm still just a dude at a racetrack.
I just wanted to give you shit.
Well, I haven't talked to Zach yet, but I kind of want
to. I know you'd say it to me.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Noah or like Travis for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Zach yet, but I kind of wonder if that like lit it like fire under his ass when he almost spun it out. Because it looked like he found another gear.
He hopped the curb in 3 and 4.
Yeah that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then like after that, it was like he picked up.
Once he got.
He was fast before, but he picked up after that.
And then once he got into the lead, he
was gone.
He stretched out a straightaway lead.
To me,
quick.
Yeah.
To me, 3 and 4 was tricky to figure out because I was still figuring it out towards the end of the race. But I got better as the race went on. The more I was figuring out 3 and 4, and that's when I started picking up speed. Is when I just committed to the top like he was. I went back and watched the video, so I know where he is now. But I didn't know where he was when I was doing it. But I should have committed to the top way earlier. And like just pounded through it.
Yeah.
And just sometimes you're.
Sometimes that's what you gotta do, man.
Yeah.
Pound through it.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
That old 3 and 4 wall at Creek County comes up pretty quick, though.
Yeah, it does.
Someone say they weren't used to racing with a wall or without a wall. They liked having with a wall there. And I'm almost the opposite in a way.
Yeah.
I like not having a wall.
No, 3 and 4. I tell people like that's one of my favorite corners is Creek County's turn 4 when it's right up against the wall because the mud will work up against the wall and you can feel the right rear tire bow up against it and just launch off of it.
In the same sense, 1 and 2.
1 and 2 is it's balls
so,
out.
It's so awesome to run in there so freaking hard on the cushion and then you're coming off 2 and you know that
just
wall's
pedaling
coming.
That thing coming off. Just wait, just hoping you don't smack that wall. Yeah.
I get that. I just like that. Like, I guess it took me a little bit to get brave enough to do it. I remember doing it where you felt it.
You just feel the bumper of the tire.
You can feel that right rear, like the sidewall bow up against the wall and just launch off of it coming off 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know. I mean, I'm biased because of how many laps I got around that place, but Creek County, when it's in that type of shape, is still one of my favorite tracks to race
at. It's an awesome track.
And I love racing there when a traveling series comes in because there's so many guys that come in there with the mentality of, oh, I hate this place, can't wait to get out of here.
It's because it's weird. I mean, it's different.
It is weird. It drives different at each end. Look at it from an aerial shot. It's paper-clipped at 1 and 2.
It's an egg.
And it's usually like – and I love it when – it's
and different
bankings
too.
That's why I like 1 and 2 is paperclip, but you have the banking to help carry the speed. 3 and 4 is more flat and sweeping, and I just love the variation of the track. Mm.
A lot of it's because you have figured it out, too, probably. If you hadn't figured it out and you were not used to it, you'd be like, you'd be so pissed
There's
off.
There's people that grew up racing there their whole lives and still don't like it that
yeah.
I know of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like it just because it's different on both ends. Makes you drive the car.
Yup.
What else, Michael?
Well, I had a big announcement for USL Non-Wing, United Sprint League. Got multiple sponsors announced this weekend, as well as tonight. Had an article we posted with the sponsorships. I was able to gather over $10,000 in added money for this season to pay out. We're doing a tow money program for perfect attendance in the top 10, heat race pay, hard charger pay. So got a lot of extra money to give out this year, and I'm like excited about that because that was a huge goal for me. Was to
you got a lot of people involved
to try? I did, yeah. Dad helped me a lot too. You know, talking mm-hmm. to people and stuff. So man, I'm really thankful for everybody that's stepping up to help grow Non-Wing Racing here, and just being able to take the series and what it was and continue to grow it and improve upon it.
You said something interesting. It had zero sponsors.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, right?
Yeah, the last couple of years.
And you've grown it?
We haven't had any sponsors the last couple of years. And that was one of my main goals was when I bought it was, like, I felt like the only way we're going to get more money in the driver's pockets is to get some marketing partners and get some advertising out there going.
Yeah.
And my dad, I don't know, Travis probably knows. I don't know if you know, my dad, when I was growing up racing, he announced it. Great County Speedway.
He has one of the most iconic calls of all time.
Yeah, the Ray Vessery flip.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once I decided that I was going to do this, I was talking to Dad, and I just came up with that. I was like, I need somebody that I can trust to push all these businesses and give them the recognition that they deserve if we're going to do this. And I know there's a lot of guys that are good announcers that would do that, but most of those guys have jobs already.
Yeah.
You know? And so I talked to Dad. I was like, how do you feel about dusting off the microphone? And, you know, and he was like, I could probably do that. I'd get into the races for free. So,
yeah. So you didn't tell him you were going to pay him?
I told him last week I was going to pay him, and he declined. He said, no, I want to help you grow it. So I'm very thankful to have Dad's help with this and Jennifer's support, man. I've been bouncing ideas off of her for months now. So, and, you know, once we got to the point where it was time to buy the series, I told her, I was like, I'm to the point where I just want to buy it and move on and start creating it in my vision.
Well, that way you aren't tied down by somebody else's views and stuff.
She was just like, okay, do it. You know,
so. Not that you didn't care before, but do you feel like you like care more now, or you're more like
so
feel more proud or respect? You know what I'm saying?
So I get what you're saying. I did care before, but I also it wasn't mine to make changes to.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you kind of feel like it's your baby, kind of thing. Is what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Now I feel like I feel more of a connection to it than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
More of like I had passion for it, but now it's more passion funneled,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in it's more of my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, that, it wasn't bad before. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. You know what I'm saying?
I felt stagnant.
Yeah.
And like, it was just, we were existing and I didn't want to just exist.
I guess what I was wondering is there a difference between, I know there's a difference, but I wondered what your difference was between being basically a manager and an owner. See what I'm saying? Yeah.
The excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I feel much more excited going into the season than I have the mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. You know, after the first year had excitement, right?
Because it was your first year.
Yeah, it was new.
Probably more anxiety.
Last year didn't have that same level of excitement for me.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I'm excited and I'm hopeful that the racers will recognize how much of a drastic change it is already
mm-hmm.
to go from
mm-hmm.
realistically no added money,
mm-hmm.
just racing for the purse mm-hmm. that really, you know, is there. And then now we have the same purse we had last year.
More con-
plus $10,000
contingencies and things like that. That kind of stuff makes it fun, though.
Yeah.
Like, I remember getting High Point Man one time. I had like envelopes of like from different places. That kind of stuff's fun.
Other stuff I'm working on too. Dad's been helping me a lot, man. We're trying to come up with some products and things to do giveaways in the driver's meeting and stuff. And we've been talking about that for a couple months. And shout out to Tim Kent and OCRS. Showed up at Meeker, and he's doing the same thing. You know, me and Tim have been talking since late last year about doing things like this to give.
Yeah, you guys are still trying to work with each other, aren't you? I mean, basically,
Both
survival kind of thing. I mean, I'm trying to kill each other.
One of our Hero sponsors we just picked up, Kent Fireworks, you know, and Tim and Johnny.
I really hope I hope he can get back going pretty soon.
Yeah, Johnny. Yeah. So, yeah, me and Tim were talking, and they're picking up some lap sponsors for the 100-lapper race. And I was like, man, Tim, I really appreciate this. He's like, dude, it takes all of us to make this stuff work. And he's right. It does. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that, you know, USL, I can reciprocate with OCRS and do some giveaways and stuff with them and help, you know, helps if they have some lap sponsors coming up or something. You know, it does take both of us working together. You know, we got pretty much the same rules package. You know, he made a few changes to his rules. And I'll be honest, one of them, I was like, I didn't think we were going to make that change. But he made the change, and so I just rolled with it, and I changed mine. It's not a big deal.
Do you want to say which one?
Bleeders. Okay. I didn't think we were going to allow bleeders. But
why not?
I just think it was something that we weren't going to change.
It's just something,
Yeah, it was just kind of is what it is. It's been established, no big deal kind of
thing. I thought it was just an IMCA deal from the get-go.
It was from the get-go. That's what started it. but now, I don't really know, but somebody had posted that it was legal in Lawton's rules. Tulsa and Creek allow it. Mm-hmm. Now OCRS allowed it. So that just left me being the last one that wasn't allowing it. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and make that change.
Yeah. That just seems like I know we've talked about it. It doesn't seem like a recurable expense.
No, it's not. And a lot of people forget that you can still buy Conroy bleeders and the old style diaphragm bleeders and get the same exact result that you can with the $1,200 Swindell bleeders if you clean them like you're supposed to.
Yep.
I'm thinking about, I don't have bleeders to have own any, but I'm thinking about doing that Conroy style setup. Just
I have a set of Conroys and the old style, like gold and red little bitty ones. All you have to do,
I still have a bunch of those. I still have a bunch of those I use to take the air out of it.
If you really know how to set it, like pay attention to like what you're doing with them, and they worked every time.
Do people set it right before the race once they decide what pressure, or do they have a bunch of that are preset?
No, it's a set every single time. You clean it, set it every time.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had a case of like, okay, like, you know, like if you're right rear, I'm ranging from 8 to 12 on pressure. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have an 8, a 9, a 10, a 11, 12.
You have the little air tank. You put it on there. And
even better if you use a tire. I like using a tire.
Really?
Yeah. But it's kind of a pain in the ass because you can't really put a tire on the
desk. It's quick. It takes longer, too.
A little longer.
Yeah.
But
so what do you
If you use a tire, you set the tire, whatever, it doesn't have to be the one on the car.
So what do? You set your air tank at 8?
No, you just pop the air above 8, above whatever it is, and let it bleed down to see where it stops.
Oh, okay.
And I just set, like what I do, I just set whatever, the tire, like a half pound above.
Yeah, that's kind of where I go, just a little bit above wherever I want it.
Just sit there and just basically fine tune it like a little bit, and then I'll get it to where it pops off, and I'll lower it to like 8.2 if it's at whatever. We'll just say 8 pounds for the control. And I'll make it to where that bleeder will pop off like at a heavy 8.2. So I know it won't be lower than that, or won't like, you know, drop below. It might not be exactly where you want it to be, but you have to be like a little bit ahead of those.
I always kind of like hit the side of the tank and stuff to kind of like show like it being beat, just to make sure like they're in a diaphragm or something catching like where it's still leaking off to. Try to listen for a little bit of air just to make sure.
That's part of the deal of like cleaning them and lubing them every time.
No, I get it. Yeah, but you always still just want to make sure. Just a kind of a safety thing, because I've had one go flat, you know.
Mm-hmm. What's next, Michael?
So do you use the ones that have like the little plug deal in the tubes that you put in the axle, or you just use the little ones you just stick in the wheel?
I've used both.
Yeah. I use the ones in the axle.
What's the one with the plug that goes in the axle?
Conroy's.
I mean, what's
the blue ones? The blue ones?
The purpose of that?
They're blue or red.
Well, it's because of centrifugal force.
Yeah.
If it's in the top, if it's in the wheel, it has a centrifugal force, so it's going to change the way the spring has pressure on it, because it's going to pull it.
Interesting.
Okay.
That's why you put in the center axle, because then it's just... Anything else?
No, I was just curious. I'm not familiar with leaders.
I bet the electronic ones are so much nicer.
I have used.
I mean, they're nice.
I've helped Joseph Miller. He showed me how to set his like real quick in like 10 seconds. He gave me a tutorial, and then the rest of the night I was helping him. I just whatever we set the air pressure at, I set him, and it was cool. And I liked it because I didn't have to have a tire gauge anymore on the rear.
Yeah.
Like I just set the bleeder, hooked it up, and then aired the tire up, and then it bled down to where it needed to be, and it was set.
So. Well, anything else exciting?
No. Pick'em challenge.
We still got to go out to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you guys are free, I don't care. I don't know when I'm free, but just let me know. That's the problem.
You guys have kids, or you're married. Don't put the time constraint on me here. So,
yeah, but you do things other than just sit at home waiting for us to call.
Oh, so you're less around. Than
I can
us.
Just schedule it.
We got to get on his schedule.
But you got to understand, we do this. It's just the same thing. I just got to schedule it.
But your schedule is a lot more subject to change.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like if you have a kid get sick, or like if Michael's wife gets sick or something.
Or if I get sick.
Yeah, we're not worried about you.
No, that's you. One of the reasons we've missed a show lately, wasn't it? Because you were like sick.
Oh, yeah, man. Mm-hmm. That was rough. I had that flu.
Well, I also want to go golfing sometime.
It's 50 degrees outside today.
No, I'm talking about...
It's not right now. I'll tell
you. I'm talking about in the next month.
We can go to Flying Tee and turn the heaters on.
I'm not a cold weather guy, so...
All right.
A heaters at Flying Tee right now sounds a lot more appealing than actually going.
What are we picking on?
So right now, the score
is 0-0.
No, we picked one race.
Did we really?
Yeah. Well, actually, we picked two races, and it was way back on March.
Are we doing dinner again?
Yeah, we're doing dinner. Loser buys for the other two.
Okay.
What we should do is. Loser buys, second place covers the tip, first place gets nothing, just gets to eat.
That's too much work.
All right, fine. Second place buys the drinks.
That might be worse.
It might be. I remember that night me and you was at Flying Tee, the drinks were expensive.
Drinks are expensive everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. We did Volusia back on March 4th.
Jesus.
The third had rained out, so they only got to race the fourth. But Travis, you got 1 point with David Gravel. He had gotten fourth that night, and that was the highest pick. Lane had Shure. I had Rico. I don't even think Rico was in the feature, if he was even there at all. So, the pick order is now based on points for this season. Travis, you're last. Lane is second. And Michael is first. And we're going to do the Outlaws in Texas this weekend at Big O Speedway in Kennedale Speedway Park. I'm going to go with... I think Gio's running strong. I'm going to go with Gio. Lane?
Donnie.
Travis?
Let's just go Gravel. There's people I'd pick that I think, you know, might surprise us, but I'm going to be safe a little bit and go with Gravel. He'll be strong no matter what, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, it was a good show. Great Speed Stick Shocks interview with Kyle Jones.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Lane's hungry. Oh, we're almost done. Is Reitzel supposed to be running this weekend, isn't he down there?
I have no clue.
Oh, I was thinking he's pretty quick down there, isn't he?
Doesn't matter. You already picked.
I know. I'm just saying. Just talking. Anyways, go ahead and do your show. Get it over with. Let's go home.
Thank you to our partners. Same day
off. You just want to be cranky all the damn time.
A1 Machine Shops. Beat 6 Shops.
Not done talking.
thank you for our fans out there listening to episode 164 past
Michael's podcast, an ass
presented by Same Day Auto Repair. We'll talk to you next week. Passing Points Podcast is produced by MTR Performance Media. Please follow and like us on social media at Passing Points Podcast on Facebook, at Passing_Points on Twitter, and at Passing Points Podcast on Instagram.